right, it's Wednesday on DGS. No Dave, so no DG as yesterday. He'll be back on Monday. Cardinals lost the first game of the doubleheader, 6-4 to the Royals. The nightcap is coming up. We'll have pregame at 5:50, 6:45 for the first pitch. So for the evening, it's more of a normal schedule. We'll catch up with Matt Pauly at 5:15 in sports. Might before that, too. He texted me. He's like, I'm just sitting around. I'm like,
ooh, let's get him on.
I'm like, we may want to talk.
Get on the show,
we
Matt.
We may want to talk. So, Matt, heads up, buddy. We'll talk to you maybe in a little bit. So, we got more baseball coming your way. Obviously, tough day for the Cardinals. Nothing to be overly concerned or worried about. Ideally, you bounce back, you split the doubleheader, and then you go into the weekend series against the Cubs after an off day tomorrow, which is where we stand right now. Gordon Graceffo, by the way, will make his first major league start. Won't be his major league debut, but he'll make his first major league start in the second game of the doubleheader today. All right, so obviously these games, these shows following games are short and weird, and they're kind of jumbled, so let's just jump right in. Why don't we start with little Dave Murray? We got a live look at what we can be expecting for the weather for the next several days, and then we'll hit some headlines after that.
Well, the rains of Beryl are long gone. However, most of us picked up 2 to 3 inches of rain, but I'm seeing some spots up to 5 inches. So right now, we have the second wettest July on record. So far, 5.59 inches. And because of all that rain, we have a lot of low-level moisture trapped in the atmosphere. It's kind of stuck right at the ground level, and that's why we've got to keep the chance of a couple of spot evening thunderstorms around. But most of us will miss any activity, but the chance is there. 68 for the overnight low. On Thursday, same kind of setup, partly sunny skies, 86. But because of the low-level moisture, still the chance of a couple of spot afternoon thunderstorms. Keep that going into Thursday evening. Friday, partly sunny, still the chance of a couple of spot afternoon thunderstorms. 91 degrees. We'll start to dry out a little bit over the weekend. Saturday, sunny. 94 degrees, and Sunday sunny and 96 degrees. Rivers, especially the smaller rivers, Merrimack and below, are still in flood, still causing some problems. That's going to be the rule over the next couple of days as the rivers start to quiet down in a relatively dry weather pattern. However, the major rivers are in pretty good shape, only minor flooding expected because there's not a lot of rain up to our north. There you have it. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, we appreciate it, Dave. And obviously, as he mentioned with us yesterday, the heat is coming this weekend and lasting into early next week, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. All right, Rachel, let's hit some headlines, see what's going on in the world. What's been happening all day long?
Well, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. The biggest story that I've been seeing on the old television today is the fact that George Clooney, a high-profile Biden supporter and fundraiser, has asked the president to leave the race, saying he wrote in a New York Times opinion piece that he loves Biden, but the party would lose the presidential race as well as any control in Congress with him as the nominee, saying this isn't only my opinion. This is the opinion of every senator and Congress member and governor that I've spoken with in private.
Yeah, he also mentioned in the article that, and look, keep in mind, he raised, he was a part of raising.
He was just in this huge fundraiser.
3 weeks ago, they raised $14 million for Biden. And in this article, he says that the Joe Biden I met 3 weeks ago is not the same guy as 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob Reiner chimed in, and he's agreed. I think a couple other famous, Michael Douglas, which is interesting given that he's about the age of Biden, maybe even a little older. I don't know. But it was interesting. He chimed in and said the same thing in an interview, too. And I know everybody hates it, right? And like, shut up, Hollywood. Who gives a crap? And I kind of agree with that, right? Like, you know, you're famous. You're wealthy. A lot of things that affect us aren't going to affect you the same way. But I still don't think there's anything wrong with people on any particular political team, whether you call yourself Team Democrat or Team Republican, saying you think your party should change.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have no problem with George Clooney voicing his opinion, especially because he's fundraised and done so much for the Democrats. It's like, okay, he has room to talk here. What bothers me more is the weight that media outlets give it. Like, today it's been like, did you see George Clooney said it's the end of the line for Biden because George Clooney. I just didn't realize that George Clooney was like the final word on this.
I do think that there's a little bit of an element of if he's saying this, it's probably not just his opinion.
Right.
He's probably had these conversations with people in his circle. Look, he's been a very significant financial contributor to Democratic candidates for a long time. He's not alone in that. But if they're saying these things out loud, it means these conversations are happening behind the scenes, which is why I find it interesting. I don't care what his particular opinion is or any individual person, right? Every individual person, we all have our own opinions, and it's fine that people have them and express them in any way they can. But what is interesting is when someone in that kind of position, whether it's an actor or look, there is a senator today who said essentially the same thing. There are other elected officials that are saying some of the same things. And the more that that's coming out from people in these particular places who are tied into the party, who talk to each other, who know each other, it means there is a bigger conversation happening underneath.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that there's no way he would come out and say this if Obama wasn't working behind the scenes to make sure that this was going to happen.
I mean, again, they all know. And again, everybody, the big shooters on either side of the aisle all know the people within their little world, right? And if the message starts to be a certain thing, it means a lot of people agree with it. Mm-hmm. It's not usually just, I'm going to say my opinion and change everyone's mind. Normally, it's, we're talking a lot about this and it's time to take it public.
One more Biden story here. Nancy Pelosi is stopping short of giving President Biden her endorsement. In a new interview, she said, it's up to the president to decide if he's going to run. We're all encouraging him to make that decision because time is running short, which is a very interesting thing to say, given the fact that Biden has said in no uncertain terms that he's running.
Yeah, I don't know how this is all going to turn out. And all of this is part of the process. When we're dealing with, and think about what we're dealing with, right? I mean, Biden clearly has problems, clearly has issues. You can see and hear the difference. I think Dave does a really good job of describing it, like seeing the difference in a loved one, seeing the difference in a person over time. If you go back and watch clips of Joe Biden from 4 years ago, he sounds different.
Mm-hmm.
He moves differently. The expression on his face is different. That's a normal thing in life. But let's not, the one thing we can't downplay is Donald Trump still says crazy, weird old guy things too, and misses things and mixes up facts. He said something the other day about, was it Don Jr. or Eric? I think it's Don Jr. said he's got a lovely wife. He's not married. Now, maybe that's just a simple slip because he's been with the same person for a long time. But the point is that neither one of these two are getting any younger. It's going to be, if you're looking at it now and saying, what do you think about Joe, where he is? Well, in 4 years from now, Trump's going to be older than Biden is today. Now, I know he presents younger, but that's 4 years down the road. I have that worry about both of them.
Yeah.
I have that particular worry about both of them. And then, you know, we got another guy in this race who's not going to win, but he's going to take votes in RFK Jr., who just did an interview recently where he's talking about part of 9/11 being an inside job and saying there are questions. I'm like, okay, buddy, so you're about, I mean, he's Mr. Conspiracy Theorist. Mm-hmm. He is. And those are the three people.
Let's do one more story and then we can save some more headlines for later if you want. Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial went underway today. Prosecutors say he was reckless and ignored safety rules in the accidental shooting that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins and wounded the director of the film, Rust, in 2021. Baldwin has pleaded not guilty, saying he wasn't aware that the gun was loaded with live ammo and says he didn't pull the trigger. That'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. I just want to know what happened. I think most people are on that page.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, he woke up that morning wanting to kill a lady. Like, I don't think there's one part of me that thinks that at all. But was he shirking his duties? Was he being reckless?
Yeah.
That's something to pay attention to. So this will be interesting to see this play out.
All right, we got a lot to do. Another Cardinals game coming your way in just a little bit. So we're about an hour and a half away from the pregame on the nightcap of the doubleheader. 6:45 for the first pitch there. Obviously, a little bit of a short show. I mean, we got an hour today, and boy, I'll tell you, we're struggling. No, we're really not. It's fine. Pet 423, we got Cardinals baseball again. We got doubleheader tonight, or the second half of the doubleheader tonight at 6:45. Let's finish up the headlines.
All right. Several states have passed laws banning cell phones in public schools, like Florida, Indiana, and Ohio. Now Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin is calling for a ban on cell phones in public schools. He wants to make new guidelines for a, quote, cell phone-free education that will significantly reduce the amount of time students can be on phones without parental supervision. What do you think, Wheels?
I mean, I'm just never a big fan of anybody deciding anything for parents.
Yeah.
You know, if a parent wants to limit their child's cell phone usage, that's fine. Do it. It's up to you. But that shouldn't be decided by other people.
I agree. I think there's something to be said about saying, like, hey, we can't use the phone in school because we don't want you on it all day. We don't want you cheating.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was...
That's fine.
Cell phones were definitely a thing whenever I was in high school, but we couldn't have them. We couldn't even have them in our locker. You had to keep them in your car or leave them at home.
Right.
But to make it into a parenting issue, I think is a little weird.
Right. If schools want to make the rule, you cannot have your phone on you during school hours. You can have it during lunch or you can have it during homeroom or whatever, but you cannot have it during normal classes, then that's fine. I have no issue with that. I don't know, you know, exactly what would go into making that policy. I'm sure it's fine because there are other things you can't have. Like they can tell you, no, you can't eat in class, right? You can't mm-hmm. have gum or whatever. So if there are things that they can do with other behaviors that would be similar, that's fine to me. If you're going to say no cell phones in class while class is being taught.
You just reminded me, we were not allowed to eat during class, and I would sometimes buy Sour Punch straws, which are still one of my favorite candies, and I would like rip off a little piece and like sneak it during class.
Bad.
I know, and I was like, am I really going to get taken down for this? Like, I had to stop eventually. I'm like, this. I'm flying too close to the sun. I'm going to get caught.
Did you actually worry about it?
Yeah, I did. I did. Because I would have gotten a demerit if
That's
I would have
so
gotten
nice.
Caught. You get 3 demerits, you get a detention. I wasn't about to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we did all that except minus the guilt. Like, just like make sure we didn't want to get caught, but it wasn't like worry. It was just like, we don't want them to take our stuff
right.
away. Because what they would have done in my high school would have been to taken your food and thrown it away.
That's the worst punishment of all.
Yes,
really.
Yes.
A pair of NASA astronauts left stranded in space gave a press conference from the ISS today. Barry Butch Wilmore and Sunita Williams have spent the last month aboard the International Space Station because of mechanical issues with the Boeing Starliner spacecraft. But despite those issues, the astronauts tell reporters they are absolutely confident the Starliner will be able to return them home safely. It's just kind of funny that they're stranded. I mean, it's not funny.
I mean, it is kind of funny,
like,
because
they're perfectly safe. Safe, so it's
right.
fine.
Well, the story says stranded, but they can do a press conference.
Right. Like, they're clearly doing okay.
But, like, my takeaway from it all is, like, when are people going to start getting fired by Boeing?
Mm.
I mean, they've had their share of problems here in the last calendar year with airplane parts. And, yeah, you know, we might have missed some safety stuff. And now you got the Starliner that can't go get the people that it was supposed to go get. I mean, in a lot of lines of work, if you had that many failures and problems, somebody would be going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about
it,
but something definitely needs to be cleaned up.
I don't know enough to say who it should be or what it should be. I just know that, like, again, being a sports guy, if your team is falling apart and failing, what's the first thing people want? They want somebody in charge to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe I'm being too much of a sports bro.
Chinese authorities caught a man trying to smuggle 100 live snakes in his pants. Customs officials say the man was caught trying to enter mainland China from Hong Kong. He had 6 canvas bags sealed with tape in his pockets, containing a total of 104 snakes of various species. So
I'm guessing they were like little guys?
I hope so. Otherwise, his pants would have looked
They've
very
been moving,
strange.
Right? Sir, why are your pants moving?
Kamala Harris visited the Olympic men's basketball team. She stopped by the team's practice in Las Vegas and posed for a photo with LeBron James, Steph Curry, and the rest of the squad. She told them, "Our nation is cheering you on, and we are so proud of you. Beat Canada and bring back that gold." Because they're playing their first exhibition game versus Canada on Wednesday.
What a rah-rah. Go beat Canada.
Do we think they were, like, excited to see her?
No.
Do we think they were
smiling in the picture.
I mean, I'm sure they're mildly happy, but, I mean... I would guess probably not. I mean,
and that's not necessarily a knock on Kamala. Is there ever a vice president that people are like?
I think that's more the point. Yes,
that's the vice president.
I can't think of any vice presidents where people would be like, can't wait to meet the vice president.
Unless you're Amy Poehler in Parks and Rec with Joe Biden. That was the big thing.
So let's
see.
Would you have been that excited about Mike Pence?
No.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm a big fan of Al Gore. I like Al Gore quite a bit.
He invented the internet.
Al Gore could not
I like Al Gore.
Could not be a more
I share his
boring
views on,
person.
Yeah, but I share his values and views on climate and stuff like that. I like Al Gore.
Inconvenient truth.
Fine.
It's
I'm just saying, like, truth. Nobody would have been like, Al Gore's coming to practice today. Nobody would care.
I would lose my mind if Al Gore was coming to KMOX.
You're not an NBA star. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about big stars who meet famous people all the time. Posts.
Let's invite him and see if he comes down.
He would.
I've done it before.
We're going to have to put that in a lockbox. All right, Matt Pauly's going to join us in about 5-6 minutes. I don't know, maybe a little bit more than that, 7-8 minutes. We'll talk a little bit about what happened this afternoon and what's coming up tonight with the Cardinals doubleheader. Lost the first game to the Royals, game 2 at 6:45. All right, these aren't really headlines, but I'll figure I'll throw a couple of these things in here just to get your guys' reaction to them. Did you see the headline I put in there? There's a dude in Arkansas who is suing a stripper in Las Vegas for $38.5 million.
What did she do?
He says that for 10 years, she strung him along and made him think he was the only one, that he was her guy, that they were in an exclusive relationship and that he was sending her money. Apparently, he sent her more than $3.5 million.
Oh, wow.
Like, bought her a house and a car and sent her money. And turns out she was dating another dude the whole time and all of that. And I'm thinking two things. Like, one, you're going public with this. Like,
yeah, that's sad.
You'd be like, okay with telling people you did this.
Yeah.
But secondly, did you really think that for 10 years you really thought you were dating from different states?
Yeah, why didn't
never
she move
being
in with
together,
you?
Never being together, you fell for something, and not only fell for it, you chose to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Am I weird? Am I being a jerk?
You're not being a jerk. The whole situation just makes me feel very sad.
So apparently, like, I read the story because I was like, how would you allow this to happen? Apparently the story is he was getting a divorce in 2014, went to Vegas to like cheer himself up, I guess, decided to go to a strip club, met this girl, and then decided
it was love at first sight.
We're in love. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to have like an exclusive monogamous relationship, long distance.
Yeah, I just don't.
I'm just going to keep sending someone money that I'm not spending any time with.
Like, man, this man has $3.5 million to spend on you. Move in with him. Like, why are you still working in Vegas?
I don't know. This is the point, right? Like, he had your suspicion.
Had to know, yeah.
First of all, just don't start sending people money.
Right.
Right. This is not disparaging against strippers at all.
No.
This is just the point of, like, if a person is trying to take advantage of you, you need to realize that. We talked about it yesterday with the people thinking that, you know, the rock star is calling you up. Post Malone is like
Sounds
hitting
like
you
Kevin's
up on
never
Facebook.
Been in love.
Yeah. not with a celebrity person or with a stripper. No, not with somebody that, again, it's a business transaction. That's what that is. That's what that whole thing there is like. Yeah, and I thought everybody kind of understood that.
Well, even if let's take her profession out of it. Even if they were just like
sure,
long
even if it's
distance,
just normal catfishing,
right? I don't think there's any law in the books that says like you're not allowed to lie to people to get the. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either. And it's wrong to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not
She's
suggesting
in the wrong.
That it's okay. I'm just saying, bro, you gotta look after yourself too.
It is sad that he's airing this out for everybody.
Yeah.
I wonder how this is going to go legally. Like, if it's going to swing
everybody
in
that's
his
commenting
direction.
Is like, sorry, good luck, dude. Like, really good luck because you agreed to it all. Well, I don't know where to go with that. So I'm going to shut up. We'll talk to Matt Pauly in a minute. All right, Wednesday on KMOX, DGS Dave out until next Monday. He's on vacation in Colorado, having a great time, from what Rachel told me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to bother people when they're on vacation too much. I don't text, but I mean,
yeah, we're just kind of checking in.
You guys know each other better than I know each other.
I just always want to know what like.
Anytime... No, I'm saying they're big. You're big time. I'm not. I'm still the rookie. I'm the newbie.
I'm just nosy, so I'm like, what are you doing? Are you having fun? Did you go to the sand dunes? What's going on?
That's cool. That's cool. I'm glad he's having fun, and I'm glad he'll be back on Monday as well. So we had the doubleheader today. Cardinals dropped the first half of the doubleheader 6-4, and obviously the second half is coming up. Matt Pauley's got the pre and the post, just coming off the post game show. I don't know why you're willing to talk again, because you've got so much more talking to do, but I'm glad you're happy to talk to us, Matt.
Always happy to talk to you guys.
Is that for real, or are you just being nice?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so anything stand out to you game one? I mean, to me, it just felt like a ball game that went the wrong way. One inning, I think, for the top of the fifth inning for Pallante got away from him, and that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to assess. Wheels, it was kind of weird, though, because they don't lose games the way they lost it today, where they get out to an early lead and then they give it up. That was teams have profiles of the way they lose, and it didn't feel like this game kind of fit that profile.
No, I don't think anything, we're in a position now where we don't have to try to figure everything out every game. You know, like 2 months ago, we were May 12th and teams 9 games under 500. It felt like every game you had, like, what's the solution to this problem? And now that you've played really good ball for 2 months, I think it's easier to say, all right, that one, you could see what went wrong. You know, Pallante wasn't at the peak of his game. You had one bad inning from Roycroft. You tried to make a comeback in the end, fell short. Okay, let's see what happens in game two tonight.
Yeah, it's under the category of everybody wins 60, everybody loses 60. This first game was just one of those 60 that you lose.
That is one of the cool things and interesting things about the flow of a season, Matt. And you've seen it, you know, in your years covering baseball, both in the minors and the major league level. You saw it in Milwaukee. You're seeing it with the Cardinals. That there's such an ebb and flow. And the way a season is going really does impact how every game is looked at. When you're going really well for a period of time, it's normal. People can be normal. But when everything's bad for a while, man, every game is just the end of the world.
If they're 9 games under 500 right now and they blow a 3-0 lead and they lose a game where both Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt hit home runs, the world is ending.
Yeah.
They're not 9 games under 500. So it's a bummer of a loss.
But yes.
The consequence isn't any more than that.
No. And then you got a chance to rebound tonight. So Gordon Graceffo getting his first start in the major leagues. His first appearance was a big success, so hopefully he can look a little bit like that tonight. And he actually has been on a really positive track even at Memphis for a while now.
Yeah, thank goodness that they're doing this. Like, you got to have guys at Memphis who you are comfortable calling up for a spot start. And they didn't do that for a while. All the other doubleheaders that they've done this year, they've utilized the extra roster spot just to have an extra guy in the bullpen.
Games,
Now Graceffo's on the 40 man. They're comfortable with him. They need a spot start. You give it to Gordon Graceffo.
Now, was there any, I think we all kind of understand the situation, but was there any further explanation about the decision to push Sonny Gray back a couple of days? Is it just as simple as, hey, we can buy him a couple of days and line him up against the Cubs, then that's what we want to do?
Yeah, I didn't hear much about that today, and I think that's essentially what it is. It just makes sense. You know, you're going into your final series of the year. It's a big one against the Cubs. Or not year, the
first
pre-All-Star
half,
break, excuse me. But you know what I'm talking about. It's a chance to, and look, Gray's coming off back-to-back not-so-great starts.
Yep.
This is a good opportunity. There's no consequence to this because he's not missing another start on the other side.
That's correct.
Being pushed back a day, so it just makes sense.
Yeah, and he can come back and start game one of the second half, no problem.
Right.
So it doesn't really change anything in that regard. That's what I read it as. It's like opportunistic. Like, you've got this chance, you can do it. And look, they didn't talk about it when they signed him. I don't think there's been a lot of talk about it at all, you know, spring training through the season, but they're very clearly managing his work.
Yeah, obviously. And I think he's got as much of a voice in that as anything. I don't know that for sure, but just you and I have been around this game and we know how it works out with veterans.
Yeah, they dictate a lot more than people maybe understand.
Yeah, so when he's coming out of a game at 85 pitches, I think he is very comfortable with that decision.
Yes, and you know he's not exactly young, but I also think part of the point here too is making sure you have the best of him for August and September and ideally October.
He's got to be a guy who can go out and start you and win you a playoff game number one.
Yes. Yeah.
So whatever you do to make sure that he is the best version of himself in October, and they haven't secured a playoff spot by any stretch of the mind, but we can start having these conversations, yeah. Wheels, because we're, what, two weeks out from the trade deadline, and the trade deadline is about supplementing your team in a way that, A, they get into the playoffs, but B, yeah, John Mozeliak talks a lot about, you know, getting to the playoffs and putting together a roster that can make it through the 162 games. Well, once you get to the trade deadline, that's still important, but it's also important to put the final pieces to a roster that you feel like can have some success in the playoffs.
Would you say, Matt, that just again we can look ahead a little bit? We don't have to go too crazy in specifics, but it definitely seems like pitching is the way to what they're going to want to target going into the deadline. Not to say that they wouldn't look at a right-handed bat, but you also if you're adding that, you probably need to be taking someone out of the regular rotation, right?
Yeah, and maybe that's a piece ends up going.
Yeah, yeah.
Ken Could Rosenthal be. Said the other day on his Fair Territory show that he does with Lana Rizzo that one reason that the Cardinals are well positioned to make moves this year at the deadline is because of how much major league talent that they have available that they could include in these moves. So that's a good problem to be worrying about. I would love to see them go get a guy that can slot in after Sonny Gray, and it pushes everybody back. I think if the playoffs started tomorrow, Gray game one, probably Kyle Gibson game two. That was how I would stack it up. You'd be a lot more comfortable with Kyle Gibson as your game three starter.
Yeah, yeah, and he's missed some bats this year, which is a little better than he normally is. I think he's got a few more strikeouts than he usually does. But yes, that bolstering that, and I would say that at the very worst, the number three spot, but ideally the number two spot in a playoff rotation is what you'd want to upgrade. And then maybe another arm for the pen because you're working some guys pretty heavy there.
I'll push back on you, Wheels. Do you really think adding a number three starter makes this team better?
I would do it if I can't get the two.
Like, they got a bunch of number threes. I don't think going and getting a guy who slots in after Kyle Gibson makes you any better, because how much better is that guy going to be than Miles Michaels? How much better is that guy going to be than Andre Pallante?
Maybe a lot. I guess it depends on which version of those guys we get, which is going to be determined somewhat in these next few weeks. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you at 5:15 with sports. Have some fun tonight.
All right, sounds good.